Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard this week. He'll be back on Monday here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dan Dibley and Mark Grandy with you. Talking a lot of Niners at training camp. It is an off day for the Niners, but they are seven practices in, gearing up for the first preseason game coming up in, what, 9-10 days? You got the first official preseason game of the NFL season tonight, the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans. And to continue the discussion on Niners training camp, we go out to the guest line, which, of course, is the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop and Worcester. Standing by on the River Islands guest line is none other than Larry Krueger. Larry, hope you're enjoying your off day from Niners camp. How's it going?
You know, anytime I can be brought to you by the banks of the mighty San Joaquin, you know, the Boathouse restaurant. I mean, it's an incredible experience. Good to be with you, Grandy, Dibs. Good to see you guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, Krugs, I love the old tagline out there at River Islands, $1 million living for half the price. That's what we used to go with out there for the islands.
There you go. Yeah, and don't forget, you know, there's K-9 schools are you know, constructed, and they're ready for you.
Yeah, the high school actually is opening as we speak, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go.
You're locked in, Larry.
Well, he's trying to one-up me on River out there. Islands, but yeah. Many you know, great,
They're playing baseball down at Islanders Field, I believe, out there.
Of course. Yeah, and you can
doing well.
You can get out on your deck on the banks of the San Joaquin River and just bask in the glow and the goodness of the better part of Lathrop, Larry.
There you go. The mighty San Joaquin.
Thank you.
All right, enough of this. Let's get to Niners training camp. Larry, we saw a video. It popped up on social media yesterday. It's been all over the place, all over certain television talk shows. We've been talking about it a little bit here on 95.7 The Game. Brandon Ayuk dressed in all black, walking on the practice field, dapping up John Lynch in an enthusiastic dap and hug with Kyle Shanahan. So many of us thinking, oh, this might be a sign that there's some progress made on a contract extension. Any reason for us to be excited, or are we reading into this too much?
You know, I think we're reading into it too much. I mean, you got to think of it this way, Grandy. The two most dialed in football people in the world are probably Rap Sheet for the NFL Network and Schefter for ESPN. They both are reporting that a deal is not imminent. So what was that? What did we see there? And I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know if that was, you know, a hug of, hey, we've climbed a major hurdle in the negotiation and the rest is just dotting I's and crossing T's, or if that was more like, hey, you know what? We're going to move you on somewhere else. I hope for the Niners and their fans that, they're getting this deal done and he's not moving on. But if I was wagering based on that video, I would say there's a very good chance he's traded. That would be my thought. Just cause the way, I mean, John Lynch gave him a quick handshake. You just signed this guy potentially to a $30 million a year deal, and he's one of your foundation pieces. And if you're going to win a Super Bowl as an executive, he's going to be one of the major reasons why. And all he gets is the quick handshake. To me, that was like, hey, you wanted the biggest bag, and I found you a place where we can send you where you'll get the biggest bag. It's all speculation. I have no sources,
yeah.
But that to me looked more like a, that didn't look like you're going to be here for the next 5 years kind of a handshake to me.
Yeah, but the Shanahan handshake was double pat.
Warmer.
And yeah, much warmer, and we brought it in. And after that exchange, Brandon Ayuk just went over and sat on a training cart and watched the rest of practice. Wouldn't he, if a deal was imminent, yeah, he just would have gone straight deuces a la Chris Brown.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say, you know, if we're doing percentages, right, Dibs, I would say 75-25, he's signing an extension and it gets done in the next 48 hours. That's my guess, but man, that was a very, very brief Lynch handshake. I don't know, man. It made me, I watched that thing several times and I thought, if you're signing this guy long term and this guy means as much as this guy means to your chances, would you just give him the singular handshake? I don't know. I think I'd be bro man. It'd be more of a bro hug and a kind of a, you know, almost a Roger Goodell draft night kind of a hug.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, at the end of a long, tough negotiation, maybe there are still feelings that would prevent you from totally bringing it in. And, you know, he and Kyle Shanahan probably haven't had any discussion about the deal, which is why I thought that that level of warmth might indicate that something would be imminent. But, you know, hearing Grandy and I sit at 4:08 on a Thursday and we're hoping it crosses any minute now. And it doesn't feel like, you know, talking to you like it's going to happen.
The other interesting angle was, you know, the guy, Dibs, that you know is tight with Mike Shanahan is his former offensive lineman, what's his name?
Stinky.
Who just ripped the heck out of Ayuk for his hold in. And it's like, if he thought everything was copacetic between Kyle and the Niners and Ayuk, would he be tearing him up for his hold in? I don't know. That was a very negative comment from a guy who's relatively close to Shanahan's dad, who's obviously very close to Kyle. So, man, I'm not sure what to make of that one.
Larry Krueger with us here on the River Islands guest line. Larry, I know we're so focused on the extension or if he gets traded. What is so bad if he just plays on the fifth-year option? I know some of it is, I don't know, optics, and you want to continue to take care of your players. The Niners have a very good track record doing that. What is so bad, though, if the Niners just simply say to Ayuk, sorry, it's timing, you're a victim of circumstance, we just can't give you the contract that you're looking for, but you're too valuable to us, at least for this one season, to trade you. We're going to make you play on the fifth-year option. Is that so far out of the possibility, or could we be headed towards that?
No, I mean, Grandy, I think that is the 49ers. If you say, what is in the 49ers' best interest? It's that. Play on the fifth-year option. Why? Because if you play on the fifth-year option, you're setting up a one-year Debo IU competition. You're also putting off, you know, having to make a concrete evaluation on what Cowing and Pearsall can give you. Next year at this time, you're going to know what Cowing is. You're going to know what Pearsall is. You're going to know what they're capable of. And you're going to know what kind of year Debo had. Also, if you do sign Debo Ayuk to this big money extension and Debo outperforms him, now you've got this real awkward situation where you've got two really popular, very much team leader type guys. One guy who's making a whole lot less money and he's going to be shown the door at the end of the year. And the other guy's making a ton of money and he's not playing as well. So there's dynamics at play here that I think make the fifth-year option in the Niners' best interest. But then there's also, you could argue the other side, that it's then becomes a distraction. And will there be a lot of people that are upset that you took care of CMC, you know, you took care of Bosa, but you're making Ayuk play on the fifth-year option despite coming off a 1,300-yard year where he was efficient as heck and get it in fewer touches than other receivers. You played the 28th fastest pace in the league, so that worked against him, and you've got all these other weapons that dragged on his production, and you're going to hold his feet to the fire on his production when he's delivered handsomely for you. He's not a diva, blocks in the run game. You know what I'm saying? There could be some guys in the room that are a little pushed out of shape if they don't take care of Ayuk.
I get that. Larry Krueger here on 95.7 The Game. What I'm also starting to understand, though, Larry, is the way teams are going about constructing their roster. And I think about Green Bay letting Davante Adams go and then drafting tight ends and wide receivers, in Kansas City letting Tyreek go and getting rid of that huge contract and then drafting young rookie players to play receiver. And I look at the Niners potentially paying two guys at the receiver spot more than $20 or $25 million a year. Is it becoming the new trend in the NFL to pay the quarterback and not pay other skill guys and have them on rookie deals?
Well, what's happened, Dibs, is that, you know, it's okay. NFL personnel people can stomach paying quarterbacks. Why? Because it's a supply and demand deal, and the demand far outweighs the supply. that's no longer the case in the receiver market. The receivers, you know, the last three drafts have been incredibly deep with wide receivers. The trend in the industry is to go spread formation. So there's all kinds of wide receivers entering the draft every year. The free agent market is proliferated with tons of wide receivers. So, you know, these guys, people are seeing what the top guys are getting paid, but the demand, the supply is, you know, is greater. And so it, that's where teams are saying, you know what, with this kind of supply, I'm not paying Tyreek. And the Chiefs, of course, they had Mahomes, but they've won two rings since. And, you know, Green Bay said, we're not paying Devontae. And you know, nobody wanted to pay Diggs. And, you know, you've seen nobody wanted to pay Brown. And suddenly it's, you know, these guys are moving around at a pretty high clip. And it's been kind of a surprise. But that's kind of the reaction to the market has exploded for wide receivers, but the supply is still incredible.
Larry, you mentioned maybe part of the reason why forcing Ayuk to play on the fifth year could be valuable because it lets you have an opportunity to get to know a couple of your rookies that may be able to fill in for Brandon Ayuk in the future. They've both been dealing with hamstring injuries, Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall has been back this week, and you've been down there through the first, 7 days of training camp, and I know Pearsall hasn't participated in all of those, but what have you seen from the Niners' first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall? And what impact should we expect from him this season?
Well, I mean, Grandy, first of all, both these guys, you know, if you're sitting there, if you're a 49er fan driving around listening to the game right now going, yeah, I kind of wonder, can these guys play? Just bank on it. These guys can both play. Cowing can play. Pearsall can play. Pearsall's made some amazing catches already. Him and Purdy are already have a tremendous rapport. The guy creates separation with relative ease, and he's got a gliding speed that it's really impressive. Cowing kind of reminds me of kind of almost like an Allen Iverson guy as far as he's small, but he's tough, and he's really, really strong, and his footwork in and out of the breaks is incredible. So both those receivers can really play, but durability is the question mark. Neither of those guys are built like Ayuk or Debo. So, you know, the only question I have for those about those two rookies is durability. And unfortunately, it's still a question.
And it's a question that will be answered here in the next month. And my question for you, Larry, is who's going to be the odd man or odd men out of the receiver position? Because I see a team that's probably going to keep six on their roster that breaks camp. But you've got Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell and, you know, not to mention Chris Conley and Trent Taylor. Who ends up being the odd man out of guys who have some experience if they keep both these rookies?
Well, you know, basically the answer, Dibs, is everybody. You know, so it's like, you, this is what you got. You got Debo and Ayuk and JJ, and you got Cowing, and you got Pearsall, and then you got those five, and then you probably, everybody else is probably competing for one spot. I would say that the guy that I think's got the edge there is probably Conley. I know that sounds odd because other guys you think of as better, but Conley had a real role in on special teams, multiple, you know, as a gunner, and he also played well in the playoffs, had a big catch in the Super Bowl, had a big hit on special teams in the Super Bowl. I think that sixth spot is going to be designated for special teams contributors, and my guess is it goes to Conley.
Larry Kruger with us here on the River Islands guest line. Okay, enough about the guys catching the passes, Larry. What about the guy throwing those balls to those receivers? All these interceptions for Brock Purdy, big deal or no, Larry?
I mean, you know, there were people last year that were losing their S because of Brock Purdy and the way he played against the Raiders in Vegas. And then what did the guy do? The guy went on and almost won the MVP. So, you know, definitely nothing. You know, the one thing about this is the time to find out what your limitations are, what your, you know, how hard you got to throw it to get it in the window. Well, you know, how far can you lead these receivers and they can still make the play? This is where you test your boundaries and your limits as a quarterback, your receivers' limits as receivers. You want to see quarterbacks test those limits. Now, there's different kinds of interceptions. There's the tip into the air that gets picked off the surface, like Fred Warner did the other day on a tipped ball from Yottam. That was just a great defensive play. Then there's the I don't have enough arm strength to squeeze it in the window, that's a totally different pick. And then there's the Trey Lance. I didn't see the coverage underneath. I didn't see that defender. I had no account for the defenders. And that's like, and that's a blatant, terrible interception. So these things have to be kind of evaluated individually. I would say overall, I have zero concern about Brock Purdy's 7 picks here in late July.
When you look at concerns so far through a couple of weeks of practices at camp, what is concerning you? Is it the offensive line with injuries and questions about depth? Where do you look right now as an area of concern here in early August?
Well, it's always hard to know exactly what's real and what's not. But I'm going to start with the run D, Dibs, because you had Armstead. He was probably your best run defender. He's not there. You had Greenlaw. He was one of the best run defenders in the entire NFL. You're not going to have him probably till after Thanksgiving. And then Hufanga is probably your best run defender on the back end. And there's a likelihood that he may not be ready to roll. So you could start this year after struggling to stop the run in the playoffs, struggling to stop the run in the preseason, and now without three of your best run defenders, that could be a real problem. So I would say until proven otherwise, run defense is a major problem. The other major problem is Dre Greenlaw is not good. He's not great. He's awesome. And so when you take awesome players off the field, there's a drop-off. And I can tell you just from watching Devondre Campbell, he ain't Dre Greenlaw. So that's a concern.
I'm going to ask you about a couple other players who have been standing out from what I'm hearing and ask you to either confirm or deny or throw out some others that you think aren't getting maybe the recognition they deserve. And one of those guys is potentially a future replacement at some point for Dre Greenlaw. Hearing a lot of good things about D. Winters, also a couple of rookie defensive backs, Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green. How have those three specifically looked in training camp so far, and any others standing out to you that maybe Niner fans don't know a lot about just yet?
Well, Grandy, Mustafa is just almost like a comic book. I mean, he has been so good.
Like Mighty Mouse.
I mean, he is. Mustafa was like, you know, he was sent here from planet Krypton. And, you know, I mean, this guy is so jacked. This guy's so strong, so quick, so physically dominant. He had an interception 3 days ago, guys. That's one of the greatest individual plays I've ever seen on a football field from anybody in any era. It was a go ball on the right sideline from Dobbs to Danny Gray, who had Renardo Green locked up in one-on-one coverage. And he's playing deep quarter coverage, and he comes over as the safety does. And, you know, sometimes they show up early, and as a penalty, sometimes they show up late, and they can't impact the thing. Sometimes they go for the hit. Sometimes they go for the pick. This guy, Mustafa, rises up in a crowd. All three guys go up in the air at the same time. It looked like he was 8 feet in the air. He takes his left arm and just rips the interception away, one arm over both other guys, and landed kind of the way like a cat lands when it jumps down off, or like the way like some guys in the NBA dunk contest land when they're trying to like land and make it look cool. I mean, this guy just landed and like struck the pose, and it was like, what? Yeah. What are we watching? I mean, it was amazing. And Renardo Green is just, he has just got the temperament that you wish every one of your DBs had this temperament. I mean, he's just a dog. He just wants to fight you, and he's tenacious, and he talks a lot of mess, and he's just, you know, he's in a lot of ways, you know, an alpha. Both those guys are alphas. As far as Winters, you know, Winters, Fred Warner told me he's had the best offseason of anybody. To me, I've been watching every practice. Jalen Graham looks so much better than Winters. I mean, Jalen Graham is bigger, faster. I mean, they're both really good young linebackers who are going to play a lot and play well. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just not seeing it right. But to me, Winters looks, you know, like as clear. He looks good, but Graham looks great.
It's a great breakdown. And the one day I was out there, Larry, watching Mustafa, and they got him listed at 5'10", 206, and I thought he was closer to 5'9", 230, and he is just absolute all business, the amount of muscle that guy has. It's crazy.
He's got, I mean, you know, he's got the six-pack abs, and you know, he shows it off. he's such an interesting build that if you see him with his jersey on, he looks like a linebacker. He looks like a guy who wouldn't have the kind of ability to turn and run and cover. But then when you see that how thin his waist is and how lean he is in the lower body, how limber, how well he moves, you're like, you know what? This is a cover guy. This guy can play the deep middle. So I think he's interesting because he could play free safety, I think, if they needed him. But he could play in the box and play that strong safety up on the line of scrimmage role if they want him in that spot. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who's at free and who's at strong when they actually start playing these games.
We'll keep an eye on it, Larry. Appreciate your time as always, and we'll catch up with you next time, okay?
Sounds good, fellas. Have a good night.
All right, you too, Larry. Well, that's classic Larry geeking out on all these players that a lot of Niner fans don't really know much about just yet.
No doubt. And even, with my mostly untrained eye, when you go out to practice and I was out there.
Yeah, I haven't been out there yet.
And I'm probably going to go next week again, catch them again before they get into the real games, the preseason games. But you look at Mustafa and, you're looking across the field and he just absolutely pops, not only with the way he carries himself, but Larry's right. You look at his physique and he's not the tallest player, but he is just all muscle and he's all business. And even though they weren't padded and hitting when I was out there, you could see that the guy, he's going to light some people up when he gets out on the field. And you start talking about the secondary with Jair Brown and Diamador Lenore and, of course, Mooney Ward. This secondary is going to be a lot better than previous year's secondaries, for sure.
If this guy is making this big of an impact this early in camp, how the hell did he last in the fourth round?
It's a good point.
I mean, I guess we'll find out once he actually gets into some games, and who knows how much he's actually going to play as a safety in his rookie season. A big question mark is Talanoa Hufanga and when he ultimately is ready to go. And if that is week one, and you got Jair Brown, as you talked about, a rookie last year who stepped in and for the most part was pretty decent. But you got a lot of youth back there. But the early returns, yep. Malik Mustafa, very good.
Linebacker is one area to watch. And, you talk about Devondre Campbell and whether or not he can make that impact. And I do know that you need a third linebacker, but a lot of teams now, your base defense is your nickel defense, which is, four down linemen, just two linebackers and five in the secondary. So I think when you have Greenlaw and Warner, you can set it and forget it, and you don't have to worry about the linebacking
core. Such a nice luxury to have.
It's beyond a luxury, and I think we're going to see this weekend when P. Willie goes into the Hall of Fame, Patrick Willis, and it's going to remind you of just how good we've had it here in San Francisco for so long at linebacker.
Yeah, a couple of pieces of news. Of course, Patrick Willis going into the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame game is tonight, Bears versus Texans. That ceremony will be this weekend. Frank Gore is also being inducted into the Eddie D. Niners Hall of Fame, which is very well deserved. Quite possibly the best running back, or one of the best running backs in Niners franchise history. He's certainly up there. One of the best running backs across the entire NFL, if you just go based on number of yards. Part of that is because he just played for so many freaking years. But Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, and then speaking of Navarro Bowman, Matt Barrows, we don't got time to play this right now, but Matt Barrows was on the morning roast earlier today. And why I asked Larry about D. Winters was because Matt Barrows did a double take, thought D. Winters was Navarro Bowman. Look, we're at number 53 and kind of had some of the same characteristics and abilities, getting into the backfield and making some tackles for loss. So Niners have had good linebackers in recent memory.
And hopefully they can continue that trend, and whether it's Campbell or Winters or somebody else to play alongside Fred Warner. You know you have a real one with Fred Warner. And I don't know if you're going to see Dre Greenlaw even after Thanksgiving. That's a tough injury to come back from.
Very tough. And it happened in February.
Exactly.
Torn Achilles in February. It's rough. We certainly hope he's back as soon as possible. The Niners defense is better with Dre Greenlaw. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. We are sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. More thoughts from camp coming up on the other side. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs right here on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard this week. He'll be back on Monday alongside Dan Dibley. It's Mark Randy with you on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. As we transition to football, the calendar flips to August, and we're in full football mode. I have a little bit of Giants for you. Maybe coming up a little bit later as the Giants are traveling. Maybe they're already in Cincinnati gearing up for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series against the Reds in Great American Ballpark. A big series coming up for the Giants. But Niners, although it is an off day for them today, much like the Giants. Niners dominated the story so far here on Willard and Dibs, and we'll get into that a little bit more here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, the NFL is currently in the process of releasing their top 100 players of the year list.
Okay.
They do it every year. It comes out around this time in like increments of 10. We currently have everything other than the top 10. That comes out tomorrow afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. But the first 90 players from 100 all the way down to 20, they have been released. How many Niners do you think are going to appear in this top 100 list altogether?
Man, out of 100 players, there's 32 teams, so that would be an average, all things created equal, of 3 per team. Now, we know that that's not going to be the way it goes. There'll be some teams, I would imagine, that get 0, and so some would have to balance that out. I would say, just thinking about it, who would be on there?
Let's run through them.
Well, you figure Brock, Christian, George, Debo.
It's 4.
And Trent.
It's 5.
And Brandon.
6.
Nick and Fred. That gets me to a clean 8.
7, 8. Yep.
I'm going to say 8.
8 is your guess.
8 out of 100. 100. Now, I might be leaving out Mooney Ward. He might be in there. I might be including Brandon Ayuk, who won't be in there. So it'll be between 7 and 9, I would guess. I'm going to go with 8.
Okay. Between 7 and 9 is correct. 8 is just a... well, I don't know for sure, but it's probably going to be wrong because we don't know the top 10 yet.
Okay. Is there a Niner that is still yet to be named in 11 through 100?
The highest number, is the worst of the bunch, the one closest to 100, is a player you have not brought up yet, and it's the player we were just talking about going to break who's recovering from an Achilles tear. Dre Greenlaw checked in at number 76 on this ranking. So Dre Greenlaw, number 76. Brandon Ayuk comes in at 66. Let's see. Debo Samuel at 30. Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy at 28.
Okay.
Nick Bosa at 27.
Really?
George Kittle at 14. Fred Warner at 11. That leaves off Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, who I would imagine will both be in the top 10. Add all that together, if my assumption about CMC and Trent is right, which I'm sure it will be, because they are definitely top 100 players. They will be on this list, and they will appear in the top 10 tomorrow. That's 9 Niners in the top 100.
And I guess the one that I neglected to think about was Dre Greenlaw, and I guess I was thinking about Dre Greenlaw this year, and
yes,
if he doesn't play until after Thanksgiving... and even if he comes back around Thanksgiving, that would be a 9-month recovery from an Achilles injury, which would be pretty good. That'd be an aggressive return to play. And that would leave him with about 5, maybe 6 games plus playoffs. So I guess he could still make an impact and be top 100. If he wasn't hurt with the Achilles, then absolutely he'd be on the list. But I didn't even think about him because of the injury.
I'm not sure how the NFL asks, and this is voted on by the players, which is why I like this list so much, because it gives you an idea of what the other players in the league think about these Niner players. And it's particularly, I think, insightful for, say, Ayuk Debo conversations, for the Brock Purdy conversation. Ayuk 66th, Debo 30th. Brock Purdy is 28th, the 28th best player in the NFL, according to his peers. That's interesting. I don't know exactly, though, what the NFL presents its players with in terms of the vote. Is it just who was the best last year? Is it predicting the future? Is it whatever the case is? I'm not sure there is a set rule in what they're supposed to be voting on. Maybe just one healthy. Who are the best players in the NFL? And currently, maybe you're projecting a bit for the future. But regardless, no matter what the rule is on the vote, 9 players in the top 100. You almost have a tenth of the top 100 players in the league.
And do we know who the remaining 10 are, for the most part, who are yet to be named, who will be top 10? And I think we can kind of play with this a little bit. If it's Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey.
Probably. There's two quarterbacks left. Mahomes and Lamar will be in the top 10, I would imagine.
Josh Allen's already been listed.
Josh Allen, I have it here. Let me find it.
Okay. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm just trying to think
about... Josh Allen was 12th.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts was 15th. Dak Prescott, 16th. C.J. Stroud, 20th. Brock Purdy, 28th. That's so quarterbacks in the top 30.
We've got two quarterbacks remaining. And did you say Joe Burrow, or he's already been named?
Burrow is in the 30s.
Okay.
Brock Purdy ranked higher than Burrow, Tua, and Jordan Love. Goff and Stafford in the 40s. Justin Herbert in the 70s, Kirk Cousins in the 80s, Trevor Lawrence and Aaron Rodgers in the 90s.
There you have it. So yet to be named, we have Trent and Christian for sure. You've got Mahomes and
Lamar.
Justin Jefferson, I would guess, has not been mentioned. So that's five of the top 10. TJ Watt probably hasn't been mentioned, or Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been mentioned. Am I right in saying that? And I'm putting you on the spot because...
Actually, you know, Justin Jefferson is showing up here at 18.
Okay. All right. So he's already off the board. I wonder who...
Interesting.
Tyreek Hill would be one that I think is probably still out there. I don't know if Tyreek Hill has been named. And again, I feel bad putting you on the spot, but I'm just wondering...
Micah Parsons is 17. I was thinking of him as well.
As we think, like, Max Crosby, has he been named? As we start to think about who the top 10 will be, Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey, how high do they go? It's pretty obvious that Patrick Mahomes will be number one. Can we agree that, I mean, he would have to be
especially if,
number
off
one.
What they just did as
right,
a team this past
champs,
year.
And he's been
and doing it with that supporting cast offensively.
Exactly. So as we think about, you know, who else will be in that top five, certainly in that top 10, it just had me wondering about other names. And I probably should have looked at the list a little bit more closely so I would have answers to these questions.
The way that it's put out right now on NFL.com, it's not very easy. They have it in increments of 10, and I have to tab over between every group, so it's really hard to find who's been named and who hasn't been named. I imagine when they announce the top 10 tomorrow afternoon, they'll have a full top 100 list, but I don't just have the first 90 players from 100 down to 20 or to 11 just yet.
Right.
But we know at least four of them, those two quarterbacks, and then we know Trent and Christian McCaffrey will be up there.
Yeah, I'm just looking. I see Amon-Ra at 23 and Penei Sewell, the recently paid Penei Sewell at 22. Bosa at 27 feels a little low to me.
He was four last year, and he dropped 23 spots from four to 27.
Yeah, that is a little bit
disrespectful from his peers.
Somewhat, but, you know, he did have a little bit of a quieter year, so to speak, you know, certainly from the sack numbers and, you know, the impact, maybe a little bit of a slow start. So I wonder if that played in. Travis Kelce is another one that
he's
I don't think
be
we've
up
seen.
There.
So we're kind of picking our way through who will be.
Chris Jones. Is Chris Jones up there? The Chiefs going to have three in the top 10?
They might. I mean, they'd be worthy, right, being back-to-back champs. And I'm not sure if we've seen Max Crosby on the list yet. And again, I know it's difficult to have to go through every 10 players, and I'm kind of doing the same thing. I see Cooper Kupp at 69, so there's another guy that, you know, wouldn't be up there. And I can't imagine that Puka Nacua, even off a fantastic rookie year, I can't imagine that he'd be in the top 10.
No, not in the top 10.
No, and I'm trying to find him at all on this list.
Puka's 33rd.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've run down just about all the names who will be in that top 10, and I haven't yet seen Max Crosby.
Max Crosby's probably up there, too. He's been incredible for the Raiders.
So you got Mahomes and Kelce. You've got Lamar and Crosby. You've got McCaffrey and Trent Williams.
Probably Myles Garrett as well.
Yep. And TJ Watt is another one that I named that I don't think that we've seen. So that's eight of the top 10. And, you know, 888-957-9570.
I
think that we've missed a couple of clear cut guys who are going to be on that list. But it is an interesting list based on what you were saying. This is voted on by the players. So players voting on players, not media know it alls who really don't know that much. These are players who are going up against these guys and saying, yeah, these are the real ones. These are the dudes we have to worry about.
So it's interesting. Brock Purdy, 28th. The 28th best player in the NFL. I think kind of depending on how you, I don't know, maybe it's just how you view the world. You might think that's really high. You might think that's really low. I mean, Brock Purdy is ranked higher than Joe Burrow by his peers. And maybe part of that is Joe Burrow coming off of another major injury. And, you know, he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. Although when he's been in, he's been incredible. But you also look, Dibs, at what Brock Purdy did this past season. And I mean, he was the NFL favorite basically for the vast majority of the regular season. And he was a finalist for the MVP award, yet there's six other quarterbacks that will be ranked ahead of him in this list. He'll be the seventh ranked quarterback. Ultimately, I was expecting him to be a little bit lower. I thought 28, a little bit of a surprise in a good way for Brock Purdy. I didn't think that his peers would be so, I don't know, eager to vote for him that high up the list. I mean, he's ranked higher than Deebo Samuel, than Brandon Ayuk, than Dre Greenlaw on this Niners team, which I'm not sure I would have expected that going in.
Yeah, and I think that the players understand what he's doing and how good it is that he's doing that. And, you know, it's more of a fan and a media construct when we look at where he was drafted and Mr. Irrelevant and all the rest of it. If you're playing against Brock Purdy and you see the success he's had in 2 years and the fact that he already has four playoff victories, which is more than a majority of the guys on this list. And I think he's top 25 all time among quarterback playoff wins already in 2 years with four. It's mind boggling, but he's gone out there and he's gotten it done already in 2 years in the playoffs. He's got more playoff wins than Cousins, and he's got more playoff wins than Love, than Dak, than the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL. And so because of that, I think the players put some respect on his game more than fans in the media.
One of the best parts of this whole award or this whole voting process, the NFL Top 100, which again is voted on every year by players. And shout out to the 510 on the Xfinity mobile text line. It says that list is peer evaluated and based on performance from last season. Shout out to Chris A. from Oakland. Appreciate that. Who knows exactly how much the players follow those rules and restrictions, but that is what it is supposed to be. And also the 415 tweeting out, I think, the list of 10 that we ran through. So the top 10 in some order will be Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill, and TJ Watt. That's the top 10 in some order. We'll see how it all comes out. But what's the best part, in my opinion, of these lists is for every player in the top 100, NFL Films puts together a little video package where you get all these little blurbs and comments from some of the players that were complimentary of this player. And I pulled Brock Purdy's little top 100 NFL video, edited it out because there's some, you know, things that it's just music and you can see a highlight going in the background. So it's edited a little bit, but Brock Purdy, it's a little bit long here, 2.5 minutes, but I wanted to play it because it is kind of eye-opening what some of his peers and his opponents said about him. You'll hear from Greg Newsom, a corner on the Cleveland Browns. You'll hear from Harrison Phillips, Vikings defensive tackle. Tristan Wirfs, who we talked about earlier today, Tampa offensive lineman who just signed and reset the offensive tackle market. Alex Highsmith, a Pittsburgh linebacker. Alec Ingold, a Miami fullback, who I think you guys had on the show at some point last year leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he was an awesome guy. You'll hear from him. Kirk Cousins as well at the very end. And there's a couple of familiar voices. You'll hear from Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle as well. But here is the NFL Films, NFL Top 100 video dedicated to Brock Purdy, who came in at number 28.
The San Francisco 49ers select Brock Purdy, a quarterback from Iowa State.
Definitely not Mr. Irrelevant. He's really relevant now in the NFL.
Brocky, we with you, baby. We riding with you.
Amazing how many people missed in this draft on this guy. He is amazing.
He may be relevant, but some regard him not as a top-flight quarterback, but merely a game manager.
People have this misunderstanding that he's just surrounded by weapons and it's just easy to give, you know, screens to Christian and Deebo and George, but continually you see him push the ball downfield and make big plays.
I don't think he was a game manager. Honestly, we treated him as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Throws the ball at the right time every single time. He's a guy where if you're caught slipping, he's going to find you.
He's got my respect. You know, he came out and he did great against us. he can sit in that pocket and then throw it, and he can also escape and make plays with his legs as well. So, you know, he's very versatile.
Sets in the pocket right there, and he's not even just going to take off and run. He's going to reset and look again and then run. That is a gift not everybody has.
You do see him scramble to make plays with his legs and scramble to throw. And when you have a quarterback like that, it's really tough to defend.
Brock's playing at an incredibly high level. He's throwing dots, as Brandon Ayuk would say, and you see him all over the tape.
High level decision, awareness, and throw. That's a very small window. That is very accurate. That far downfield. What a throw under pressure right there. It's usually what separates the best. Can you see it all right when you're taking the hit?
I mean, he is the reason why the Niners are so successful. You talk about all the other mouths to feed. You have all these superstars all over the field. Yeah, well, Brock Purdy is the guy that's feeding them all and putting them in systems to succeed.
My favorite part of Brock Purdy's year was the NFC Championship game. Seeing him getting up with ripped leggings, bloody nose, and he's still dishing the ball out to go to the Super Bowl. Like, just dialed in, you know, running around, throwing darts.
Purdy has hurt Detroit with his legs today as a runner and a passer.
What are they down, 24-7? In a playoff game? Not bad. Yeah, not bad.
Ah! Put the respect on your name!
You can't doubt that man anymore after that.
Well, I think he's doing everything the great quarterbacks in this league do. I mean, he's making explosive plays. He's making plays off schedule. He's accurate. I told him after we played him that, you know, you're only in year two, and I can't imagine doing the things you're doing when I was in my second year. And I think his best football's ahead of him.
There it is. Yeah, that was Kirk Cousins at the very end saying, I think the best football is still ahead of you. It's amazing what you're doing in year two. I couldn't imagine doing what you're doing at year two. A lot of really high praise from Purdy's peers.
Yeah, and Tony Romo in there talking about, you know, the footwork and setting up and then resetting and still having the ability to look downfield. And I know that that's one thing that Brock Purdy does so well, and yet he's talked in this preseason about wanting to get better at, and that's decision making. And already as a second year quarterback last year, you could see how good he was at real time decision making and, you know, being able to decipher what the defense is doing and make the correct play. And yet he still wants to get better. And he's a guy who you can tell that just grinds every day to try to improve, even coming off a year where he took his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, and you hear all of these comments, and obviously, I mean, they're pulling the things that are being complimentary said about Brock Purdy. Not that anyone in these videos and in this process that the NFL goes through every year is ragging on him, but Greg Newsome, a corner for the Cleveland Browns, saying, you know, he'll catch you slipping. If you make a mistake defensively, he always finds the right guy to throw to. He's always throwing it on target. Alex Highsmith, the Pittsburgh linebacker, was reminiscing on week one last year when Purdy just absolutely killed that really, really good Pittsburgh defense. He didn't seem too happy to be reminiscing about that moment, which I thought was kind of funny. Alec Ingold, as we talked about, who came on the show leading up to the Super Bowl last year, talking about his favorite Purdy moment was the NFC Championship game comeback, and spoken like a true fullback, talking about how Purdy's got ripped leggings and he's got a bloody mouth because totally. He got hit in the face, and that's his favorite moment, seeing him grit his teeth and going out there and bringing his team back. Kyle Juszczyk saying, quote, he is the reason we're so successful. And it's one thing coming from, I guess, a teammate. Maybe that doesn't mean as much coming from an opponent, but still, hearing all of these people and all of these pros across the league speak in such a glowing light, I think, about Brock Purdy, it means a whole lot more than, no offense, you or me or any of us talking about what we see in Brock. Hearing it from all these guys, it carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, and no offense taken, because you're right. When that's where this list, this top 100 list, and they've got him in the top 30, means even more than all the praise from analysts and former players. These are people who are still currently playing, and they look at a guy not based on how much he's made, but what he's doing on the field, and, you know, the ability to make the right throw most of the time and lead a very complex offense and share the ball and spread it around and earn the number one seed in the NFC and take your team to the Super Bowl. Those are all things that deserve to be recognized, and they were in that piece and also by his peers.
925 on the Xfinity mobile text line says, though, but bro got the whole top 100 players on his team. Come on now. You do have eight of his teammates that are in the top 100. That gets back to a conversation we were talking about earlier. Would Brock be the same guy without all that talent? The NFL player base is saying, well, yeah, he's got some good players, but he's still a top 30 player and the seventh best quarterback in the NFL, according to his peers. The only ones that are better. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, and CJ Stroud. That is it. That's the list ahead of him, which, I don't know, you could maybe argue with a couple of those. CJ Stroud, perhaps, Dak Prescott, perhaps. Maybe you feel a certain way about Jalen Hurts. But top seven, that doesn't feel too disrespectful to me.
No, and I do also, you know, think that you go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo days, and Jimmy Garoppolo had largely the same group of talent around him that Brock Purdy has.
I wonder if Garoppolo was ever in this list. I'm going to look that up.
I would bet that he was, but probably not in the top 30. And it's because Brock Purdy elevates the players around him. And Jimmy Garoppolo had basically the same group around him. I think he had Debo and he had Brandon. I don't think that he had Christian, maybe for a game before Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. I can't remember the timing on when McCaffrey came and when Garoppolo got injured, but the point being, he largely had the same group of skill guys around him, and now we want to hold it against Brock Purdy. It just doesn't seem right to me.
So in the list that came out in the offseason, the 2020 offseason, the year after the Niners lost in the Super Bowl, the offseason that followed that. So after Jimmy's first full year as a starter of the 49ers, when he led them to the Super Bowl, he finished 43rd on the NFL's top 100.
Okay.
Honestly, probably a little higher than I was expecting.
But yeah,
if you put yourselves back in those shoes back then, I mean, he had a pretty darn good season that year. I know it ended with him overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl and kind of went downhill from there. But yeah, I guess that's fair.
It's definitely fair. And then we didn't really see Jimmy's warts as much until, you know, you saw him at times, but you also saw that a quarterback get you to the Super Bowl. So you were a little bit more willing to forgive it. And then you see what Brock has done with largely the same guys around him. And he's had bigger years and better years and taken the team as deep as Jimmy Garoppolo did in a shorter period of time. So you can see just by watching football that Brock Purdy's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
He's only 2 years into it.
No doubt. And his peers have voted him as the 28th best player in the NFL, 7th highest ranked quarterback in the league. And the Niners have 9 players in the top 100. They're the best roster in football, and it's not close. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we've got 1 hour left to get into. I want to hear some from Brock Purdy, by the way, not necessarily about this, about some other things and how he feels going into his third season in the NFL. We can get into that. We can take your calls on training camp concerns, anything you want to get into Niners related. If you want to talk Giants, I got things to say about Logan Webb as well. You can give us a call, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy, I'm in for Mark Willard on this Thursday. We're back with more on the other side here on 95.7 The Game. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.